You're listening to 4315, a podcast about empowering workers and exposing the union-busting industry. Presented by Labor Lab. For more information and resources about the right to unionize and how to protect it, visit laborlab.us.
I understand shortly after we spoke last time, you've since been fired. So do you want to maybe just walk us through what happened?
Yeah, so Amazon had been retaliating against me since April. And that's whenever I had to start filing initial unfair labor practices. And ever since then, they would always scrutinize my work very heavily. And, you know, they would find just something to write me up for. They do this with everybody as soon as they're on their radar. And what happened when I got fired was, you know, they said I had gotten a write-up in addition to the other write-ups I had incurred, and so I was automatically terminated. They came and found me 10 minutes into my shift, and this fucking manager brought me, you know, he walked up there just to tell me to follow him to HR. And like he didn't trust me to get there on my own or something. And yeah, then there was an operations manager and an HR person waiting in there to deliver that news to me. And of course, you know, I asked them about keeping my health insurance, asked them about why I was fired. And, you know, they claim it was productivity. And they showed me the numbers, you know. I was trying to tell them how it did not add up. It didn't add up at all. You know, employees, you don't even get to appeal a productivity write-up. You don't get to use any sort of excuses. They don't ask you why was your production low. They don't do any of that. As opposed, if you would get a time off task write-up, they would ask you and give you a chance to justify that. And then they would have a disciplinary meeting. That write-up that I received, it came 2 weeks after they had issued it. So imagine you get wrote up, you know, 2 weeks ago, and then they take that long to tell you.
Almost like they were just sitting on it and waiting.
Yeah, just waiting for the perfect moment. You know, you work with those same people, those same managers, you work with them every day, and then just one day out of the blue, they fire you. There have been many cases where people have been written up and then never notified, and then at the last minute they'll just be fired.
You know, I hate to say this. This just feels like, I mean, obviously it's a union busting tactic to go after like the most prominent organizer in the facility. Like that right there, we all know that that's union busting. But just the way in which they went about writing you up is also part of that union busting. And I know that John can speak to this too, because that's really what No Evil Foods did to him. It's like, we would always call them ghost write-ups. So it's like they would write you up, not tell you about it, not give you any opportunity to correct what they deem a problem with your productivity or behavior or whatever. And then all of a sudden, you know, when you make one tiny paperwork error, it's like, oh, look, we have this stack of paperwork, you know, saying what a bad employee you are. And
yeah, it all sounds very familiar.
That's all. It just, it's sad seeing it happen to somebody else too.
It also goes to show you that big corporations, small companies, doesn't make a difference. They all do the same crap.
Yeah, and it's not fair, because this is my next question, though. What was the date that you were actually fired? How long has it been since you've been fired?
Well, of course, I should have been fired like 2 weeks previously than the date I was terminated. But the date I was terminated was the 19th of August.
Okay, so the 19th of August, well, that's like a month ago. So how has this impacted you financially? Like, are you, is it, has it become a struggle yet? Or since it's only been a month, like, are you not quite playing catch up yet? Like what's the status of your personal, you know, situation, and how has this impacted you, if you're comfortable answering?
You know, I've already had to make a lot of cutbacks, you know, cutting back on like what I buy from the store, you know, trying not to go and get groceries as much as possible, trying not to leave the house that much, because then you got to put gas in your car and it's still relatively expensive. You know, I had to opt into like some budget billing programs with my utilities. And yeah, I'm just like, you know, withdrawing from my savings, and thankfully I have gotten enough donations, you know, for the last month to be able to hold up pretty well.
That's good. And so, have you been able to collect unemployment? And if not, what's the situation with that?
No, I haven't been able to collect unemployment. So after Amazon fired me, you know, it was on a weekend, so I had to wait until the following Monday to, you know, file a claim for benefits. And soon after, I actually had gotten a letter saying I was eligible for benefits, which was a shock to me. I was thinking it would be rejected, because Amazon, typically when they fire somebody, they'll even come for their unemployment benefits to stop them from getting that. So it was accepted, and then of course I file to request a payment, and I just don't get it for a while. You know, I keep checking on it. I keep checking my bank account for it, because I have a direct deposit set up. And then one day I get on there and try to see, like, hey, what's the deal? It says my unemployment is under fact-checking review. I don't know what that means. And then, you know, it's been a month now. I've requested payments twice. Kentucky requires you to be searching for work when you're unemployed. You have to, like, submit a job application within the time frame of one benefit request to another. So, yeah, I was doing that. But for places around here that aren't even hiring, you know, nobody around here is hiring.
Yeah, you were saying that the last time we talked, isn't it really, like, borderline company town? Like, most of the people who live in the immediate area work at that Amazon facility you were fired from?
There's quite a chunk. And, you know, there's 1,000 people that work at Amazon out of the 11,000 residents in Campbellsville. And there's people from surrounding areas that also have to come there from all over central Kentucky. So people as far as an hour away. Some people drive from an hour and a half to get there. Hell, there's one manager that drives all the way from northern Louisville, which is, you know, 2 hours.
Let me ask you, so at the actual warehouse now, what's been going on? Like, do you have anybody that you're still talking to there? You know, and like, in terms of organizing efforts specifically, how has that been going, or is it just kind of at a dead end right now?
I still talk to everybody on the inside. You know, that group of people, you know, they're pretty good people. And it's just like the fact that they're all shook up and laying low about this, and whisper campaigns about me, and, you know, frankly, about anybody who's trying to organize, just continue to circulate. It's not a good situation. And, you know, there's all kinds of things that just keep hurting the momentum. It's a very back and forth kind of struggle there. But initially, after I was fired, you know, there were a ton of people that were just pissed off about it. and, you know, raising those concerns with management. But, you know, it's like the anti-union crowd is just kind of subjugating them in a way. No, nobody wants to be ostracized.
Yeah.
You know, that happened to me, but I was able to take it. The critical decision to publicize our campaign, you know, it was so everybody else could lay low. You know, I decided to take the heat.
So let me ask you, kind of in closing, what can people do who are listening? What can they do to support you?
Yeah, I would appreciate everybody if they could, you know, find a way to organize your own workplace. Find a way to go and contact Amazon employees and encourage them and empower them and motivate them to organize. That's the best thing here, because if we organize this company, then we're going to have a way for every union organizer to get their job back once they're fired. We're going to have access to that grievance policy that actually helps people. We're going to have access to transparency, the transparency that will let people actually keep their jobs. You know, it's particularly egregious when somebody gets fired at Amazon because you don't really have readily available access to your numbers or what your productivity is even supposed to be. And, you know, I would definitely appreciate if everybody could give me a follow on social media or make a donation if you have anything to spare. I know you guys made a $60 donation to me from the first podcast, and I'm very appreciative of that.
Yeah, of course. And we'll link all that at the bottom so we can try to help you out and get you through this. But yeah, this is a really disappointing turn of events.
And it's really, I mean, and it's important to talk about this stuff too, because there's, you know, we love to celebrate the wins of organizing, and then, you know, there's a real ugly side too, where, you know, people lose their jobs and then they're stuck struggling with their hands in the air going, what the hell do I do now? So we're just hoping that we have all of these social media links and fundraisers down at the bottom, and we would all appreciate if you can just give a small donation to help out our first guest, Matt.
Yep. And thanks again for coming on and talking with us.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure talking with y'all. And yeah, I'm gonna continue to keep this organizing committee held together, keep our weekly meetings going, meet outside the warehouse with them when we need to, and you know, just keep it going and keep in touch with all of the other campaigns that are out there, all the other new Amazon employees who are wanting to organize and they need a sort of mentor, you know.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you so much, Matt. We hope things turn around for you soon.
Yeah, absolutely. I hope so.